Please remain standing in body or in spirit for the reading of today's scripture lesson, which can be found in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Listen for the word of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God.
And please be seated, and thank you so much, Craig, for sharing the epistle reading with us this morning. Will you join me in prayer, friends? Loving God, we are indeed thankful for the day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, just that you have just continually blessed us with your presence today and always. Lord, we thank you that in song and silence and prayer and praise, in your word and in sacrament, Lord, you make yourself known among us. The promise that Jesus made, where even two or more are in the midst, you are in the midst. And so we're grateful for this time, and as we continue in worship, O God, we pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of all our hearts, would be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer, and all God's people said. Amen. Well, what goes through your mind? Friends, what goes through your mind when you come to that moment when you realize that your ability to influence, much less have any control over a situation or an event, when you realize at that moment that it is behind you by 5 seconds? What comes to your mind? I'll tell you what came to my mind. I was riding my bike one day a couple of years ago on what is the safest street in the city of Louisville to ride a bike on. And I saw the guy come out of his house, and I saw him getting ready to get into his car, and I had no worries about interacting with that car whatsoever. I knew that I would be long past that man's driveway before he ever managed to get out of it. What I didn't count on was how much of a hurry this man was in. And he bounded into his car, and in record time, he got himself situated. His car turned on and turned or down into reverse. He came barreling out of his driveway, and that's when I had that moment. As I was yelling and braking hard, and as he was realizing he was about to hit someone with his car, as he was braking hard, my front wheel hit the back end of his car, the back wheel of my bike catapulted into the air, and so did I. And I had two things that was going through my mind, but I can share one thing with you that was going on. I'm human, okay? But here's what was going through my mind. This is not going to end well for me. This is not going to end well for me. And that's it. That's the question. What's happening in your life right now that is so out of control, that has you thinking, this is not going to end well for me kind of situation? What's happening in your life right now that would be that kind of a situation? For some of us, it might be our children. Well, my child is out of control. They're acting out, and I'm not sure how this is going to turn out for them. For some of us, it's an aging parent. My mom is not doing well. She's sick, and this is not going to end well. For some of us, it may be for ourselves. Our job isn't going like we want it to go, and we're wondering, is this going to end well for me? Or maybe you just got a health diagnosis that was not welcome or expected, and you're thinking to yourself, this might not end well for me. Or relationship, or school. What is your, this is not going to end well for me situation? If you can't identify it now, you've had it in the past. And if you haven't had it in the past, buckle up, because that situation is coming. And when you really think about it, when you think about how we have far less control over events and people than we care to admit, and that's why I think the pandemic was so hard for us, because we lost so much control over our lives. But in those moments, when we're just sure that things just aren't going to end well, when we're in the midst of the chaos, when we're in the midst of uncertainty and anxiety and worry, God has a word for us today from the Apostle Paul. And you know what that word is? Did you hear it? Friends, that word today in the midst of the chaos and the out of control is peace. Say it with me. Peace. That's the word from God through the Apostle Paul. The word is peace. And don't even think for a second that Paul is coming to us today from a place of safety or comfort or some kind of an ivory tower, because Paul is writing from prison and he's awaiting trial, the very trial that will find him guilty, that will lead to his execution. Paul is writing these words about peace and about freedom and about rejoicing. He's writing it all while he is under duress. And Paul is writing to a community in Philippi, the church there, that is also under duress. They are all under duress because they are sharing Christ as crucified and risen. And they're under pressure to not do that. It's important to remember that Paul's word of peace, it's for a community and for individuals. I'm personalizing it quite a bit today, but it's also for our community and the community. And that's important because we worry a lot of things about a lot of things in our society today. Where are we going? Why is there so much rancor and disunity? What's happening to our society? Where is the justice, or where is the mercy, or where is the kindness? If that's you today, there's peace to be found. There is concern in communities of churches. In our United Methodist Church, some of us are heading over to Middletown UMC this afternoon to hear from our General Conference delegation about General Conference next month and in early May. There's peace for us in that. And there is peace as we worry, not just about the church, not just about the world around us, but as we worry about our kids and our grandkids and our health and our relationships and our school and our jobs and our money. Whew, we have a lot of things to worry about, don't we? And then there's this word, peace. And I have to believe that Paul was remembering, when he's talking about peace, some of the words of Jesus. I wonder if he was remembering what Jesus was saying about peace in John 14. As that chapter opens, Jesus is just hours, of course, from his own arrest and trial and crucifixion and death. And it's anything but a peaceful moment, I guess. And Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Later down in that chapter, Jesus talked about peace. He said, "My peace I give you. My peace I leave with you." Not the kind of peace that is of this world, mind you. He wasn't talking about the kind of peace that comes from a full belly or a well-funded bank account or 401k, as good as those things might be. He was talking about the kind of peace that comes from knowing that God is near to us. Amen? The kind of peace that comes when we know that this God who created us and sustains and redeems us is right near to us. Jesus was giving and continues to be all about that peace, as does Paul. But I gotta tell you something before we go any further about this peace. It's kind of like grace. It's free, but it is not cheap. It doesn't always come quite so easily. Look at Paul and Jesus. I mean, Jesus, he came to that point in the Garden of Gethsemane where he says, "Not my will, but Father, yours be done." But he did that after he had asked God to take that cup away from him, to almost as if he's saying, "If there's any other way than me going and suffering and going through all of this, Father, let it be." In fact, one gospel writer records that and remembers that when Jesus was agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane, that capillaries near the surface of his skin and the stress of that moment burst, and he sweat great drops of blood in the stress of that moment. Sounds anything but peaceful. And the Apostle Paul, what about him? I mean, he's writing these soaring words in Philippians. How did he get there? Well, let's remember the journey of Paul. Paul had been arrested, he had been jailed, he had been stoned, he had been beaten with rods, he was shipwrecked, bitten by a poisonous snake, starved, harassed, harangued. Do not travel with the Apostle Paul. I'm just telling you. Ultimately, Paul, he had to be struck blind on the road to Damascus before he found peace. Peace and the pathway to it. It's almost always accompanied by chaos and pain and uncertainty. We wouldn't need it otherwise. We wouldn't be longing for it. And I can almost hear some of us thinking right now, but Eric, you don't know what I'm facing right now. And this peace sounds great, but it almost sounds like a pipe dream. I'm not sure if it's possible for me. You just don't know. And maybe I don't know. And maybe you don't know what robs me of my peace. But we can all know this from the apostles' words, that there's peace to be found in these words because of hope and because of practicality in the midst of chaos, in the midst of all that would rob us of peace. And I'll take us back to verse 5 of Philippians 4 right here. It's a little verse. It's easy to look over. It talks about letting your gentleness be made known. And then he says these words, four words. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. How does it make you feel to think that the Lord is near to you? Have you ever had somebody just be near to you, particularly in a time of need? So the first time that I had COVID, I know some of y'all think I've had it like 8 times now, right? And I think I've had it actually twice. I checked this week how many times I've actually had COVID. But the first time that I had COVID was right at the end of 2020 into the first part of 21. And, that was before the vaccine, and I wasn't greatly concerned. I wasn't greatly anxious about it. I'm a fairly healthy person as far as I know, but I did have some anxiety. It was new, and people were dying, and I wasn't glad that I had it, to be honest with you. And Kathy and I started to talk between walls of different rooms, of course, about what she was going to do. My mother has a condo here. It's empty most of the time, and she could have easily gone to the condo to stay, and I really wanted her to go. I urged her to leave me. I even said something like, well, go ahead and go if you have to go. Don't worry about me. I'll be just fine. Yeah, go ahead. And I don't think I maybe didn't have quite that tone. I did encourage her to go. But I really wanted her to stay. And I felt guilty that I wanted her to stay. She wouldn't go. She stayed. Even though I said, go. And she ended up getting COVID too. But anyway, that's like no good deed, right, is what they say. These simple, gentle words, the Lord is near, they give us great comfort, don't they? They bring peace. Because it reminds us of the witness of the Gospels that we have a God in the Lord Jesus Christ who never leaves us, who never forsakes us, who doesn't just come near to us when everything's going right. In fact, the witness of the Gospels reminds us that we have a God who comes to us in those moments when we precisely need Him the most. Look at the disciples on the boat in the Sea of Galilee. He wasn't just with them when the seas were calm. He came with them. He came to them, walking on the water in the middle of a storm. What about Lazarus and Mary and Martha? He was a little late, but who cares? He was there. He came. Not when Lazarus was doing well, but when Lazarus was 4 days dead. The Lord was near. What about those 10 lepers? I could go on and on about the Lord being near when we're on the very margins of life itself. That's God. And that's the God who gives us peace in the midst of chaos. So Paul's word proclaims hope, but it also offers practical advice. I mean, there's a word here. Paul writes, don't worry about anything. Now, you know what it would have... Aren't you glad Paul didn't just say, don't worry about anything, and then stop right there? You know what Paul would have been if he would have said, don't worry about anything, and offered nothing else? He would have been cruel. He would have been insensitive. He would have been an idiot. Because that wouldn't work. Paul offers some practical advice. And the practical advice comes after the word in the NRSV, but, or in some other translations, it's translated as instead. Don't worry about anything. Instead, Paul says very simply, pray, give thanks, make your request known to God. And it sounds so simple. It sounds so simple. It sounds so formulaic, and I don't really think it is formulaic. I think what it's really inviting us to is to an attitude of expectancy that our God will actually listen to us, that our God actually cares, that our God is actually near to us. When you think about worry, when you think about what it is, it's meditating on all of our what-ifs. And if you're anything like me, you spend a lot of time meditating on those. And if you find yourself worrying about anything or a lot of things these days, it doesn't mean that you're any less faithful or any more spiritually immature. It doesn't matter that you're letting people down, yourself down, or God down. If you're worrying about something right now, you know what it means? It means you're human. And guess what? God loves human beings. Every single one of us. And he meets us in this place of anxiety. And he brings this word. He brings this word and this concept and this state of being, peace. And we need this. We need this. Because I'm not going into it today. We don't have time to go into it today, but I kind of did a deep dive today on worry, and it's killing us. I mean, like literally, it's making us sick. This meditating on all of the what ifs, it's making us sick. On the other hand, meditating on the goodness of God and the things that we know that we can and rightfully be grateful for. When we take this prescription from the Apostle Paul, we're not pretending that simply everything will be okay. We can just sweep everything under the rug and pretend nothing's wrong. But instead of meditating on the what ifs, he's giving us an alternative to bring it to God in a different way, to be invited into an attitude and spirit of prayer, gratitude, and expected presence of God that can be absolutely transformative for us. So let me tell this story real quick, because it's a moment in which I just experienced peace, the peace that surpasses understanding. And I have her permission to share the story. Some of you know a little bit about my daughter's, Hannah's story, our youngest daughter. The last 2 years of high school were really hard for her. She began to suffer chronic severe migraine headaches that would land her in the hospital sometimes for days on end. That took her out of life and her rhythms and things that gave her joy. And plus she was in a lot of pain and it was scary. And she became depressed during that time and it was hard. But this is not about a story of Hannah's headaches and her struggling with that. It's also not a story about Kathy and I, because Kathy and I, we were doing everything we could to support Hannah. And if you have children, and you know that when your children are suffering and they're struggling, you are suffering and struggling as well. And in order to get support for ourselves, well, we got support from a counselor during that time. And we went to that counselor one evening, and I was really optimistic. I was optimistic. It was near the end of Hannah's graduation. Nothing had changed about her situation. But I said this out loud in the session. I said, well, I think Hannah might be getting a job at Camp Lucon this summer on summer staff. That's our summer camp in Litchfield, Kentucky. And I really just thought that just being in an environment with her peers, being outside, a community focused on serving others and worshiping the Lord, I just thought that's going to be really good for her. And I think it's going to be a game changer. And the counselor leaned in and he said, Eric, do you really think that a summer at camp is going to make any kind of difference in Hannah's life? Yes, I do. He leaned in again. Well, you better get used to being disappointed. And I leaned back and I said, we'll see. What he did not know is that a few evenings prior to that counseling session, I've been walking in my neighborhood after dinner, and I've been talking to God for the millionth time about Hannah. See, this is not a story about Hannah. It's not a story about Eric and Kathy going to counseling to support Hannah and get support ourselves. It's a story about peace that passes understanding. Hannah hadn't even landed the job yet. I knew she'd applied. And just walking and talking to God, I had an overwhelming sense of peace that this really was going to be something of a game changer for Hannah, that it really was going to make a difference in her life. And I'm happy to say that it did. I'm grateful that it did. And it reminded me that time in our life, just what this passage of Scripture reminds us of as well. That this peace that God promises, that God has for us, is an invitation to experience the fullness, all the fullness of life in Christ, no matter what the circumstances are. Because friends, we're called to that peace. We're called to live into that peace and to experience that peace. And when we do, it begins to change. It begins to change everything. So I want to lean into this peace by offering our memory verse today. It's Philippians 5, or 4, I should say, verse 5, where it says this: let your gentleness be made known, or let your gentleness be known to everyone, the Lord is near. Let your gentleness be known to everyone, the Lord is near. Say that out loud with me. Let your gentleness be known to everyone, the Lord is near. Philippians 4, 5. In all circumstances, friend, we're called to this fullness of life. In all of our circumstances, we are called to peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and everyone said. We are having a choral call to Christian discipleship today, and this morning I want you to bring your sense of dis-ease, bring that moment or that situation that you don't think is going to end well, bring that to your heart and to prayer as they're singing. And friends, if you like, you can bring yourself to this altar, and Melissa and I will come and pray with you.